Welcome to the deep dive. Look, Australian mortgage broking, it's really in what you'd call a golden age right now. We saw, a staggering 76.8% market share for new home loans in Q1 2025.
Yeah, settled nearly $100 billion. It's huge.
And over 22,000 brokers now. And still growing. I mean, the channel's never felt stronger, really.
Absolutely.
I mean,
but if you dig just a little deeper, beneath all that success, you start to see some, some critical hidden challenges emerging.
Okay, like what?
Well, the competition's changed. It's really intense now. Often your biggest competitor, it's actually the broker down the street.
Right. Broker versus broker.
Exactly. Add to that the economic pressures households are facing, plus, the toughest regulatory environment we've seen in maybe a generation.
Yeah, post-Royal Commission world.
It just makes this a really pivotal time. You've got to be thinking about building a truly bulletproof business.
Precisely. So that's our mission for this deep dive. We want to uncover, say, 5 common mistakes brokers might be making. Mistakes that are costly. But more importantly, we want to show you how to flip those, turn those potential pitfalls into, powerful advantages for your business.
It's like a health check.
Exactly. A crucial health check in this pretty complex landscape. Okay, let's jump in. First big one. The compliance blind spot.
Ah, yes. Record keeping.
Yeah, not taking record keeping seriously enough. I mean, since January 1, 2021, that best interest duty BOD, it fundamentally changed things.
Yeah, completely. It shifted the legal obligation. Mm. You now have to prove your advice is actually in the client's best interest.
And your notes. They're basically your only defense.
They're your primary defense.
Yeah.
ASIC reviews them. And look, incomplete records, they expose your business to some really severe penalties.
How severe?
We're talking up to $1.57 million. For an individual breach.
Wow. Okay. So the solution seems pretty clear then.
Use your CRM properly.
Make your CRM system that single source of truth.
Exactly. And that means contemporaneous notes, writing it down as it happens, and meticulously documenting why you made a recommendation.
Including that conflict priority rule stuff, making sure the client's interest genuinely came first.
Absolutely critical. But here's the interesting part. This isn't just about, covering yourself.
Okay.
It's actually a massive trust building tool. We already know brokers are way more trusted than banks.
Right.
What is it, 39% versus 20%?
Yeah, something like that.
So when you demonstrate this really rigorous, legally required process, you're actively showing clients your value. It sets you apart.
That makes sense. Okay, mistake number 2, the lead generation trap.
Over-reliance.
Yeah, leaning too heavily on just one source. Referrals are great. Obviously, they account for, 72% of leads?
They do. But putting all your eggs in that referral basket, especially now the market's so crowded, it's a huge risk.
Because if that key source dries up,
your whole pipeline can vanish.
Yeah.
Overnight, potentially.
So how do you build that more sustainable, sort of diversified pipeline?
Or a few ways. Mm. You need to start thinking about dominating your, let's call it, digital backyard. Local SEO. Optimizing your Google business profile. Getting reviews, actively asking for them. Especially since 70% of people start their loan journey with a Google search now.
Right. You need to be visible there. And then maybe content.
And become that trusted authority. Yeah. Content marketing blogs, maybe short videos, topics people search for, like first home buyer grants.
And alliances beyond just real estate agents.
Definitely. Think accountants, especially with commercial lending surging, was it 31.2%?
Wow. Yeah.
Or even HR managers. You could offer financial wellness workshops for companies. The key is creating this sort of integrated ecosystem where all your efforts start to compound.
Okay, got it. Mistake number 3, the post-settlement silence.
Ooh, this is a big one. Neglecting clients after the deal is done.
Assuming the relationship ends at settlement, which is dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Especially with so much refinancing happening.
About 35% of new lending is refinance, plus all those fixed rates rolling off. If you're silent, it's basically an open invitation for your competitors.
And the cost. It's much higher to get a new client than keep one.
It'd be 5 times more expensive, easily. And losing a client isn't just losing that upfront commission. It's potentially years of trail income just gone.
So the fix is a client for life strategy.
Pretty much. You can automate some things, sure.
Yeah.
Loan anniversaries, birthdays, little touches.
But the key is being proactive.
Absolutely. Proactive with repricing, with reviews, using your tech, your CRM, to actually predict which clients might be at risk before they even think about looking elsewhere.
Right. So leveraging the CRM for predictive outreach.
Exactly. Anticipate their needs, like that fixed rate expiry coming up. Solve their problems before they even realize they have them.
Okay. Number 4, the policy knowledge gap.
Not understanding credit policies deeply enough.
And the stats here are a bit alarming. Loan application conversion rates, they've dropped to 76.1%.
Yeah, which means nearly 1 in 4 applications submitted doesn't actually settle.
That's wasted time for the broker, but crucially, it can harm the client's credit score too.
And many of those rejections are, frankly, predictable. They often stem from just not having that deep dive understanding of each lender's specific credit policies.
So it's more than just ticking the box on minimum CPD points.
Oh, way beyond minimum CPD. It's about continuous, really deep professional development. Mastering your lender panel beyond just reading the fact sheets.
Asking those tricky scenario-based questions, maybe even higher qualifications.
Pursuing things like the diploma or that new university-level MFPA designation.
Yeah.
It really raises the bar. Because that deep policy knowledge, that's your superpower against serviceability hurdles.
How so?
Well, APRA sets that universal buffer, right?
Uh-huh.
But individual lender policies underneath that, they vary wildly. Think about how they treat overtime income, for example. Knowing those nuances lets you solve complex puzzles. It lets you get those tough deals done where another broker might just give up.
Makes sense. Okay, final mistake. Number 5, the compliance grudge.
Treating compliance like a burden, just a tick box exercise.
Which is a really dangerous mindset, isn't it? Especially now, post-Royal Commission, A6 enforcement is, well, pretty aggressive.
Their mantra seems to be, why not litigate? And the penalties, as we said, can be business-destroying. But it's not just the fines. Reputational damage. If you fail on compliance, especially with sensitive client data, that damage can be irreversible. And reputation is everything for a broker.
So the solution isn't just doing compliance, it's changing how you think about it.
Fundamentally, you need to shift your mindset. Embrace compliance. See it as your single greatest trust-building tool.
Embed BD right into your business culture.
Yes. And crucially, educate your clients about your legal obligations. Tell them explicitly, look, this process, my duty to you, is different from you just walking into a bank.
So be upfront about remuneration. Explain how BD ensures their interests come first.
Exactly. Lead with that transparency. Confidently explain it. This isn't just doing compliance. It's kind of weaponizing the law in your favor.
Because it answers that core client question. Who can I actually trust to be on my side?
Precisely. Compliance becomes your new marketing. It demonstrates your value.
Okay, so wrapping this up. These 5 areas we've discussed, the record keeping, the lead gen, the client retention, policy knowledge, and really embracing compliance.
They're not just separate tasks on a to-do list.
No, they seem like they form this integrated framework, a framework for building a business that's resilient, trustworthy, and ultimately more profitable.
Which really brings us to the key question for you, the listener. How can you apply these insights starting today? How can you use them to really fortify your own business, boost your value, and make sure you don't just survive, but actually thrive in the years ahead?